Good afternoon and welcome to the Beauty Files. I am Juanita. I am so glad you can join us today. Yeah, it's Friday and it's the day before a really big event that we have in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I'm gonna preface with that, but then I'm going to say there are a lot of big events that are happening right now. We have prom season that's coming up. We have lots of weddings that are being planned for May, June, and April. Well, April's almost over, but we'll say May and June, especially June, June Bride, you know that. And but the thing that I was talking about earlier is the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's a really big event. It's like the granddaddy of events in Washington, D.C. And everyone gets together, stars, political people, news people. They get together, have this dinner at this huge hotel. It's like a red carpet event. We have stars that will come down, and they'll walk the red carpet. We have makeup artists such as myself, who has the privilege and honor of making up some entertainers and stars for that particular event, and regular people, which I prefer. But you know, it's a who's who among who. So hey, I'm in the mix too. And the reason why I was doing a show is because I wanted to talk with some people to give us some advice on how we can look better, how we can improve our image as far as going out to all these fabulous balls, and even touch on this big particular ball. So today's guest is Robin Fisher. She is the president and chief stylist of Polish Image and Style. And later on today, we're going to be joined by Sarah Lloyd. She is a hairstylist, and she's going to be doing some updos and twists and curls and everything for this event as well. She's with Urey and Associates of Georgetown. It's a fabulous salon in Georgetown. And then later, yours truly is going to be giving some makeup tips for the season, the do's and the don'ts, what you should have in your makeup kit. And I hope I remember all of this that I'm telling you now, because probably forget that I said all this. But makeup kits, what you should have in your bag, what you should be doing first when you do your makeup, and also lashes or no lashes. I'm using all the questions that I'm getting every time I go out. Someone's always asking me those particular questions, especially the lashes, and especially the one about what you should have in your kit and how you should do your makeup for different events. So without further ado, Robin Fisher, who has been in this business for over 15 years, and she has She had started her own company, which is Polished, and want to bring on Robin to the Beauty Files. Welcome to the Beauty Files, Robin.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just exactly, what is Polished?
Polished is a full image consulting firm based in the Washington, D.C. area. We also service New York and San Francisco on a regular basis, and then I also travel around the country to check in on clients and so forth.
Now, when you say check in, when you say check in on clients, what does that mean?
I'm sorry?
When you say check in on clients.
Well, in the D.C. area, you have a lot of people that come into the area just for a temporary basis. They're coming in for professional or, you know, government jobs, and they travel regularly. So, you know, I'm always being flown to various different places for various different reasons. But the number one reason is to look good and to make sure their images are in check.
So why should a person even want to seek an image or wardrobe consultant? Why do I need a wardrobe consultant? You know, that's the question.
Well, the truth is the fashion industry oversaturates, you know, with media. And mm-hmm. So you have, you know, magazines and you have runway shows and so forth. And so a lot of times people are really confused about where exactly they fit in. And so while also trying to coordinate, you know, looks for their actual lifestyle. So there's a huge difference between a runway look and a look that is going to, you know, transfer into someone's everyday life. And so because 85% of our bodies are covered in clothing at all times for the most part, I mean, it's a really important issue, especially if you're a person that is trying to up-level your life or, you know, definitely make a statement and you know, make sure your positioning is right within your career. So
You just mentioned something that I want to touch on. You did say something about runway style. Should a person, if I go to a fashion show or if I, you know, you don't even have to go to the show anymore, you can just basically see it on the internet or television. And
isn't
you
that wonderful?
I love it.
I mean, I'm a person that I've been around so long. I was at Fashion Week before it was even called Fashion Week. We called it Market. So, you know, now it's a lot of media hype, you know, over Fashion Week, and I think it's amazing. You know, I love that everybody can get involved. However, I also love being able to sit in my living room, you know, with a nice cup of wine, a glass of wine, and review shows. So I think
I'm the same way. It's like, you know, you do these events. And I remember reading this article in a magazine. I can't remember the makeup artist's name, but she does the Academy Awards. And her take on it was she likes to do her work. She does everybody up. And then she goes home and then just watch everything on television so she can see her work. So she doesn't have to be there. I'm the same way.
Yes. I absolutely love it. I mean, I definitely am in New York for Fashion Week and Bridal Week. And, you know, all the runway shows when necessary for work. However, I also love being able to sit back and, you know, review the shows and get everything together for my clientele. And I think it's wonderful.
And I would imagine that you could probably take in more or you can see more when you're sitting back looking as opposed to being in the middle of it because you're around this person, you that person, you got all this other stuff going on. So you really can't concentrate on what you're seeing or what you want to see.
Well, absolutely. In my background, I come from a department store background and an international production background, and the truth is that 65% of what you see on the runway actually makes it to retail. So, you know, I've always thought, you know, gosh, do I have to go up here because I'm going to put in my orders and then they're going to tell me it's canceled, and then I have to, you know, assort my buy. So the fact that I'm not, you know, in there as a buyer anymore, but I am an image consultant. Now I just wait. I look at the runway shows, and then I also wait to see what actually makes it to retail. So it's great.
Okay, so Robin, here's the question. Where do the clothes that don't make it, where do they go? Because I want to be there.
Well, they actually never make it into production.
Oh, you know, so they just make that one piece for that skinny girl that's a size nothing. So, yeah, I wouldn't
absolutely
be able to get one arm in that.
But it's not intentional, you know, 8 out of 10 times. It's not intentional. There are definitely looks that are made, you know, specifically for the runway. However,
right.
If the orders don't come in, the garments don't get made. So, you know, they have to hit a certain minimum to make those garments. So if, you know, all the retailers aren't filling it, it's not going to happen.
Okay, so should a person that sees something on the runway, should they automatically think that it'll look good on them, or this is where you come in, you go, I don't think so.
You know, absolutely not. The truth is that we have to honor our bodies, and we all know that, you know, 9 out of 10 people are not made like a runway model.
Right.
And so by honoring our silhouettes and also our coloring to make sure, you know, we look our best, because color is such a huge part in looking fabulous, okay? If you put the wrong color on, regardless of how great you look in the actual fit of a garment, it can kill it.
Isn't that the truth? Wow.
It is the truth.
That is so important that you said that, that color plays a big role in how you look in an outfit.
Especially as we mature in age. In our teens and our 20s, we can play it to the heel. But as we get into our 30s and 40s and more mature in age, we definitely need to watch the tones of our colors. And so runway is exactly that. It's runway. It's a show. It's designed to be beautiful, spark interest, and so forth. And I tell all my clients that what you have to learn how to become is your own style editor. And by doing that, it means you have to embrace what I call your style DNA. And so I've developed a program for all my clients to be able to really understand their coloring, their silhouettes, their body types, and that even goes down to the nitty-gritty in terms of what fabrics are going to drape appropriately on you, along with the scale. So, you know, all details, you know, are not necessarily made for everybody. If you're a petite woman and you have this huge detail on, it's going to overwhelm you. And so you want every time you get dressed for the focus to be on you looking marvelous. It's a huge difference between somebody saying, that's a great color, that's a great detail, or I love that slit on that dress, versus, you know what, you look fabulous today. So runway looks are just that, runway looks. But becoming your own style editor gives you the power to say, I love that look, and how can I translate that into items into my wardrobe?
And then this is where you come in when you say, you know, my mom and I, we were talking just today about how beautiful this suit that the First Lady had on today, I mean yesterday. But everyone can't wear the same thing, so you'll get people that run out and try to copy what the First Lady had on. And most of the time, some of it is the good, and then there's the bad, and then there's the ugly.
Absolutely. And what I call this is someone that really doesn't understand their style personality. I tell people all the time that everybody isn't made the same. Their taste levels are not the same, and especially as we become more mature, we understand who we are, we've done the work, we've developed in our careers, we really have a refined taste. And so there's some people that are going to be more drawn to classic looks. There's some people that are going to be more drawn to artistic looks. There's some people that are going to be drawn to more updated looks. And you really need to understand what your taste level is. So I give everyone a style personality assessment when they start working with me to understand that, you know what, I'm 30% updated and I'm 70% classic, which means every look that you put on should have 70% of that should be in classic tailored looks. And then you put on that 30% and bam, you feel like yourself. So that by people running out and getting what they see and what, you know, they, oh, that looked good on her and that will look good on me, that's how we end up with a lot of things hanging on our closet that we don't necessarily wear. And the reason why is because we go out, we go to the shopping mall, we eye it, we find exactly what we were looking for. We get in the fitting room and this is it. We purchase that item, but when we get home and back in our own comfort zones and we put that item on, we look in the mirror, we feel like we're playing dress up. It's not quite exactly right. And the reason why is not in sync with your style personality.
Because now I'm looking at your site, and you're basically, you will do a wardrobe and a closet sweep where you will go into our closets and you will throw away those chick jeans that came out in the 1970s because we still think that that we can lose enough weight to get into those jeans. And you'll just toss them out and say, look, this is what you need. This is what you should have. This is what I recommend.
Absolutely. And the reason why is there should be no garment hanging in any woman's closet that you cannot fit and should be and isn't dated, okay?
Ooh.
That is the
really? Wait, whoa. Go back, Robin. Wait a minute.
Yes.
So all the women that are they're listening to this,
yes,
and that you have something in your closet that you think that you're going to be able to fit if you lose, and God knows I'm included. You should throw it away.
No, not necessarily.
Here's
the deal. What I tell everybody is go out to Home Depot. Get that $5 or $10 storage bucket, okay?
Oh.
You really believe that you're going to get back to that size, God bless you, and go ahead with your bad self. However, get it out of your visual sight. The reason why is because you can make numerous mistakes by putting on an ill-fitting garment or a garment that's just outdated and not even know it because you're having one of those days. And so why even play the risk? So pack all that stuff up, put it in the back of your closet, and if you don't even go for that bucket in a year, you already know what the truth is, okay? But if you're
so my Angela Davis dashiki shirt, I should just put that up.
No comment.
Power to the people. No, there's.
However, if you have a closet full of garments that you love, you're attracted to, the coloring is right, the fit is right, everything that you look at, you're like, I can't wait to wear that. Just imagine what that does for the confidence level and the self-esteem. So, just trust me. Cleaning out your closet, and I'm in the process of transitioning my closets right now.
Right.
So necessary.
So now, should everyone do that? I mean, because there are people who just saying, yeah, I'll just put the sweaters in the back and I'll just move it. You know, I know someone personally that does that. And do you just like, I mean, I change, my sister is very animate about this. She takes her spring stuff, she switches over to the winter, and she's gotten me involved in or doing that now. So I change my closets now. But there are people out there who don't think that is necessary.
Oh, it's so necessary, especially in the Washington, D.C. area where we change seasons. I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area where we don't have seasons. And so, I moved here in 99 to be a department store buyer for a major department store, and I remember being in shock at how drastic the temperature changes were. And I can tell you that there's no reason to have a pair of shorts, a pair of sandal stilettos in your closet come December. It's just taking up space. It actually confuses you when you're trying to get dressed in the morning. So transitioning your closet in this region, I definitely recommend. However, on the West Coast, where there's not a lot of change in the temperature and the seasons are pretty, set, I think that they're okay.
Yeah.
So it depends on where you are.
Yeah. So what is your, advice for, some of your best spring picks? Like, what do you see now that you love to see women in, or you're finding that, hey, this is a great look? I think you should wear that. Because I am loving the new, and I don't know how long it's going to last, Robin, so you can tell me, but I love peplum.
I love
peplum! And if anybody doesn't know what peplum is, Robin will tell you.
Peplums are awesome. They were in the 80s, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but they researched. So that just tells you how if you held on to your peplum in the 80s and then it's now 2013,
had so much peplum back in the 80s, and my God, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, no, they are not bringing this back, and I threw all that stuff away.
They were there. Peplums are awesome. I saw them coming in probably a couple years ago over in Europe, and I think that they are great. A lot of people think that if they have a little tummy or a little, hips, that they can't wear them, but they actually can be very figure flattering. It just depends on the fabric. If you have, a slightly larger tummy or slightly larger hips, you want to make sure that the fabric is something that is going to have a lot of structure and a lot of weight to it, so it can pull over those areas appropriately and not get one that's out of lightweight. But I love that. I also really love the mid-calf pencil skirt. It definitely is an updated look from the pencil skirts that just hit you at the knee. And they look very chic and perfect for going into the office and looking, fabulous. Along with printed blazers, I think, are fierce. Statement accessories have been in for the last 3 or 4 years, but I'm really getting into statement earrings versus statement necklaces. I love the chunky bangle and watch looks that people are doing on their arms, because that really is a personal thing. Everybody's aren't going to look the same.
Well, now you say chunky. Okay, so we have chunky jewelry, and then we have chunky jewelry.
Yes.
I've seen someone that, had on a necklace that, I mean, my God, it looked like Flavor Flav with the big claw. So
yes.
It's like, when do you tell somebody that chunky is a little too chunky? And
well, this is where
it back a little
comes in. Your style DNA that I developed. You really need to understand your personal scale. So if you're a petite woman and you're wearing one of those huge chunky necklaces that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
that necklace is going to be the focus of your look. It's going to overpower you. Okay.
Right.
So it's important to get the scale of your accessories right, and based on what your personal scale is. So if you're petite, you want to take it down a notch, okay? And so a medium chunky necklace is going to look like a large chunky necklace on you, okay? If you're a plus-size woman, yes, you want to go for that full chunky, because if you put on a medium or a small-scale necklace, it's not going to give you the same effect. So understanding what your style DNA is, and that really, goes into scale and silhouette and so forth, is really the key to understanding how to get a look right.
Now, when is tight too tight?
Tight is too tight.
No, I'm about to say a word, and I guess I can't because it's not.
I was trying to be polite.
It's not a bad word to say. I mean, I'm just thinking about this word. I can say it. It's not a bad word, Dawn. I think I can say it. Camel toe or camel feet or what? Camel toe.
Absolutely. People don't understand is that good tailoring is key. It makes you look like $1 million versus $10. A lot of times, you know, people, I've been in the industry for so long, and I worked in international production early in my career where I've been all around the world walking manufacturing plants, and I would see every label, high-end, mid, you know, to low, in the same factory, okay, running similar goods and just changing the labels out. And so I'm a firm believer that a price tag doesn't determine necessarily, you know, high quality or, you know, great, excuse me. Great items. What determines great items and is great fit. And so you can take a pair of pants that regularly retailed for $65 and you got it on sale for maybe $40, and you can get a $10 tailoring job and it make it look like a $200 pair of pants. And I've seen this happen, and I've actually done it. So tailoring is key. And fit.
That's what I was going to ask you about tailoring.
Tailoring is key, and fit is key. And I don't care if you bought it at one of the Lowman's and discount stores or got it on the sale rack at Bloomingdale's.
Or a flea market or consignment shop.
Consignment shops. But a $10, $15 tailoring job can make that item look like $1 million on you because it's going to fit you perfectly.
Wow. You know, and I never really felt that degree that, but you're so right, that a good tailored suit or a good tailored pants or shirt or whatever really pulls it together, and it really does improve the whole look or make you look more tailored.
Right. And you know, a lot of people, women come to me and they're like, you know, Robin, I can't get it right. And the truth is there's no industry standards in the fashion industry. You know, one of the last times I was in Europe shopping, I remember walking up to a salesperson. I said, can you please tell me, you know, the size, you know, of a size 12 in U.S., how it translates into the U.K.? I can't really quite remember. And the gentleman looked at me and said, are you from the United States? And I said, yes. And he says, how would I know? You guys invented a zero. And so from that point, he told me about myself very quickly, okay? But I've always known that, you know, and I've been put out of a few fittings also, you know,
in my
heyday. Like, you're telling me that girl is a size medium? Absolutely not. She's an extra small, you know, and you're fitting all my production to this girl, and they put me out. And so this guy was basically saying the same thing. Like, we in the U.S., we've downgraded our sizes. And we've also invented this zero. And to be honest with you, a zero does not exist anywhere else in the world except here.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is zero? I mean, what is that?
Well, the zero is 9 out of 10 times a woman that's just very straight. You know, she doesn't really have any kind of curves, and very model-esque, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, what I call those women are skeletal. You're not going to see a lot of fat on them or anything like that. A lot of times if you look, you can kind of see their collarbones and so forth. Oh. They just don't hold a lot of meat.
Well, okay, so that won't be me. I won't be ever size zero. I mean,
me
my God. You know, like meat. Okay, here we go. Well, let me ask you something, Robin. How important are good shoes?
Oh, my God. Shoes, well, it depends. I have my thoughts on shoes because shoes have become all the rage in the last 4 or 5 years, and I've always been into shoes. I actually was a designer shoe buyer. So, you know, I know the shoe market really well. Shoes should really be tailored to what your needs are. What I really hate is a woman that's walking around in $600-$700 shoes, and by the end of the night, she's limping, and you can tell that she's not comfortable at all. That's very unattractive.
Yeah, it is.
It's very unattractive. What I tell people is you really need to think about your needs. For me, as a personal stylist and an image consultant, I'm on my feet all the time. So it's very important that I make sure the shoes that I personally buy, because of my personal needs, you know, fit my art and are comfortable. For other people that, you know, you're just walking in the office from here and there, you know, a couple of times a day, then if you want to go for the high runway looks and so forth, then so be it. But it's really about functionality, and I believe that you can get great style and functionality too. So shoes are very important, and it's personal to each person.
Well, now, when does it get bad when you can tell someone is coming because of the way they clickety-clack, like, you know, like trigger? I mean, you know, I hear that a lot, and I don't think that's attractive. If you really cannot wear a good a shoe that high and you sound like, you know, Mr. Ed, why on earth would you even put them on? I don't think you should have – I don't think you should make that much noise with a pair of shoes.
It's the runway influences, you know. Everybody wants to do it. And, you know, you get to a point, honestly, with maturity where you're like, no, not today. So those women will grow out of that.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I'm on a shoot, and I hear someone clickety-clack, and I'm like, well, put some taps on you and call you Ginger Rogers. What is going on with you in those shoes?
Right. Some of my favorite high-end shoes that are, you know, designed with ergonomics involved are definitely like Stuart Weitzman, Cole Haan. I love the way that Via Spiga has
Love Cole Haan.
And Damo is also a really great shoe. So, you know, these are high-end shoes, but they also are taken into consideration the way a woman's foot is designed naturally. So you're not going to get necessarily, you know, that 5-inch heel that is going to have your feet screaming at the end of the night, but you also can get great style.
Now, before I let you go, because we on the other side we have Sarah coming on to give us some information on the hair, our hair issues.
Sure.
I want to ask you, what advice would you give our audience today? What should they, you know, just really kind of start looking into or getting into for their whole image, or what should they start doing?
The first place that every person should start is with the basics. And the reason why is because there's so many trends change so fast, and you need great basics to pull the whole looks together. So if you go out and buy that great top, you know, and have that great accessory that's going to coordinate it with it via an earring or a necklace, and you don't have a fierce pencil skirt that has been tailored to you or fits you nicely, or a nice wide leg slack, you know, that's when you get to, I have this, but I don't know what to pair it with. So the basic items, you know, are key. And so that definitely entails, you know, those pencil skirts, or if you are not have a body type that can't wear a great pencil skirt, then an A-line skirt, you know, you should always focus on the bottoms first.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Why? Well, the reason why is because everybody down low is different. And so you have some women that have slim hips, fuller hips, you know, wider legs, wider calf, and so forth. And so literally, even, you know, I was with the client today, and she's going on vacation and just wanted a pair of nice denim jeans. You know, we literally tried on 15 pair of jeans until we got the right pair of jeans.
Yes. I can imagine. That is the worst shopping is shopping for jeans.
And I tell people all the time, I'm starting from the bottom and I'm working up, because the top, women are beautiful. We're beautiful.
Right.
But we got to get those bottoms right, because it makes a huge difference between if we look huge or we look tailored and polished.
And what, you know, I know I'm running out of time, but it's like, when you just touch on the jean thing, there are so many articles. Every time you pick up a magazine, they have your perfect jean fit, your perfect jean size. Get this jean, get that jean. This jean will not make your you know, will not gape on your waist, or it's looser on the thigh, or it's fuller on the, you know, this and that. That is the worst shopping experience ever. I'm just letting you know.
It is. And what I recommend to all people is, once you find the maker that's cutting their denim for you, stick with them.
Because you don't want to go out with the mom jeans.
the client.
You want to look like mom jeans. Oh, my
no,
God, that's not a
no
good
one.
Look.
And I'm a mom.
Mom jeans are just bad. That's like overalls for a grown woman. I mean, really?
Absolutely.
Robin Fisher from PolishedImagedAndStyle.com, thank you so much for being a fabulous, fabulous guest of mine. And I really would love for you to come back on the show again to talk more about wardrobe styling and image consulting, if that's okay with
anytime.
You.
Absolutely. Anytime. Just give me a call.
And coming up next on the other side, we have Sarah Lord. She's with Urey and Associates of Georgetown, and she's going to give us some information on what you can do for all of these balls with your hair. So stick with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back to the Beauty Files. We are discussing how to look great at the balls, and we were just joined by Robin Fisher with PolishedImageAndStyle.com. What a wonderful person she is. We're talking now with Sarah Lord. Sarah is with Urey and Associates. Am I pronouncing that correct, Sarah?
Yeah, Urey and Associates. Uh-huh.
Urey and Associates. Welcome to the Beauty Files, Sarah. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, you know, we both know what we are about to embark on tomorrow, because you make up, doing a lot of hair for a lot of celebs that are coming in and television people. And I guess the biggest question that I want to ask is, what are you finding more people are wanting or asking for these particular looks?
Yeah, well, right now, first of all, I have to meet with them and find out what is the dress. That's the main focus point. From the dress, we go up. We build the hair, then we build the makeup, and we get a whole theme, and we get a whole look. And basically, you're just telling, you know, you're creating a story. So you want to make a something that they'll be happy with and comfortable with and feel beautiful in. So the looks right now, everyone is, it's all over the place. I mean, we're doing some very simple high ponytail looks. We're doing some retro looks with some nice finger waves and off to the side curls.
Wow.
You're having that movie, The Great Gatsby movie, and it's also on the cover of Vogue, and it's a lot of waves. Everybody wants these loose waves and just nice romantic feeling, and I think fringes, bangs, thanks to our First Lady, that's a big popular hit. So we're doing a lot of very casual romantic updos also, something comfortable.
Wow. So now, what if someone says that they want bangs, and they clearly do not, in your opinion, do not have a face or whatever for that look?
Mm.
How do you know? You should wear bangs.
Well, you have to be honest, and you go look in the mirror and you show her, And, you know, a lot of people are doing extensions. So we have even extension bangs that we can put in their hair and let them get a feel for it and see if, you know, do you really think that works for you before I actually cut their hair? So, but a lot of extensions. Oh, my goodness. That's a big seller right now. Don't fear. Don't believe everything you see. But, no, it's so much fun now. If you have fine hair, if you want some highlights in your hair, if you want some of that ombre, I mean, because we have everything.
So. Yeah, I love that ombre. And tell everybody what that is. I love that look. I just discovered that. I think it's so sexy.
It is sexy. If it's done right. If it's done right, that's the
main
thing. Well,
yeah, because, again, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right. You can, you can get someone that doesn't know how to apply it and how to do the service. Basically, it's darker at the roots and lighter out from the middle to the ends of the hair. So it looks as though, but it's done in a certain way. You have to use a certain special technique to get that effect.
Oh.
But it's fun, and it's young, and everybody's wearing it.
Yeah, because I was going to say, now, you know, back in the day, everyone didn't want to have dark roots. Everybody wanted their roots to be, so now it's just totally changed.
But you're coloring those roots, too. You see, you're coloring that root.
Okay.
So it's a graduation from, it's a lot of work. It looks easy, it looks simple, and yes, you can do it sometimes, but the whole effect, if it's done properly, you're gradually going from one color shade into another color shade. So sometimes your base not being colored, it doesn't work. But it just looks like you've been out in the sun and you've had the sun hitting your hair and you've been, you know, sunbathing. So it has that kind of effect. It's very tousled and, but it works. It works right now. I think it's a nice trend. I like it.
And do you enjoy, or are you finding a lot of people are coming to you for this particular type of season or this event with for extensions or want to add extra hair or length?
Yeah,
or
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They want to add volume. They want to add length, but they want it to look natural. You have partial wigs that we apply, and you will never be able to detect it. So if it's done properly, and it's all human hair. And I'm talking about extensions that you can just clip in and clip out. It's not damaging the hair, you know, so you have the full effect of that evening to be glamorous, to look beautiful, and just pump up the volume, you know?
And when you go to someone's place, and I'm thinking, or do they come to your salon? I mean, I'm thinking for you, you're probably going to a lot of hotels or whatever. Do you carry an arsenal of all kinds of stuff?
Yes, I do. You have to bring everything. And then I also, I'm also a makeup artist, so it's like the total package. It's really nice when you see the hair and you create whatever image or whatever kind of story you want to tell. So, you know, it depends. I think it starts out with the dress. That's just me. I start from there.
You start from the dress, and then you figure out the whole, like you say, it tells a story, or when the person comes in and they're wearing your, you know, the way you
what
did
kind
their
of
hair.
What do they want?
Right.
Old Hollywood glamour. Do you want something more edgy, more, you know, high fashion? But for this event, we're getting things that are just more relaxed. They want to be comfortable. It's a long evening. So everybody wants to just, you know, I have people requesting, like, very nice, sleek, high buns. Very casual, loose curls. The ponytail, simple, like Jennifer Aniston, she wears it beautifully. The high tail ponytails, that very nice and sleek, and yet it looks very fashion and edgy, but yet modern.
Now, what have you got? Now, I'm going to ask you a crazy question. I have natural hair. It's like a big afro. What if you have someone that comes into you and say, "Hey, Sarah, what can you do for me?" What would you suggest?
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a challenge.
that would be fun.
You know, we have a machine that is really kind of funny. It you put product on it, and you put the hair in this little capsule, and it makes the hair have more curls. So if that person has any wave pattern, I forget the name of it. We have it here, and we use it on people that have, you know, certain textures of hair that they want to just keep it natural.
Right.
You can get an effect. And then you can always... you work with that. What is the look? You put it up, maybe you do some kind of a French twist with it and just make it look a little, you know, nice and shiny and healthy. And natural hair is beautiful. You can make it, you can do updos with it. Might take a little bit of time, but.
What is the machine that you're talking about with the curl? That just sounds so fascinating.
It's so simple. It's just like we have one that has a hand. It's like the form, the shape of a hand, and it's by Diva Curl. And you just put it on top of your dryer, and it's like a diffuser, but it's a hand.
Right.
It's an actual hand. And you put the product in your hair, and then you put the diffuser in your hair, and you just move it around, and it starts to form the curl pattern of the person's hair. So if you do have your, like, natural hair texture, I don't know what your texture would be. Does it have some curl? You can put product in it, and you just start getting, you know, movement in the hair. And then from there, endless what you can do.
Wow. I have never heard of that. Because my hair is kinky. It's a kinky curl.
And don't you put product in it?
Well, I put, yeah, I do. I put product in it, like a leave-in conditioner sometimes. I'm sorry?
They have those kind of products. What are those girls? I forget their names right now. They're called Mixed Chicks. They do a lot of
that. I love Mixed Chicks. Yeah. I use Mixed Chicks.
Yeah, I think that's a very cool line.
Yeah, I love Mixed Chicks. I actually use their products. But yeah, it's kind of that texture where it's really kinky. You know, it does better if it's air dried in, you know, in the wind or
just
whatever.
Put the product in and then let it just air dry. And then even after that, you can still put, you can never put too much product when you have your natural, if your hair texture is that very curly, extra curly, it just absorbs the product because most likely it's dry. So you have to put more product than maybe another person with straighter hair.
And, you know, before I let you go, Sarah, what is something or some of the things, I asked this of Robin, the do's and the don'ts with hair for a ball or for a special event, what are some of the do's and the don'ts that you would suggest they do not or they should do?
Oh, well, I think something that looks too dated, definitely. Something that just is overly teased, overly sprayed, just overdone. I think that's a don't. I think you should go with things that make you definitely make you look younger. So nothing too, you know, still in your age range, but more youthful or so, I don't know, locked into thinking that I'm older, I have to cut my hair. See, so I don't follow that same belief. If you're older, you can still wear your hair long if you have a nice modern line or haircut and it's healthy looking and it's got some edge to it. You can still be, you know, a certain age and wear your hair longer. So same thing with updos. Don't have them too, just tease. That's the thing. A lot of people just over tease and they don't know how to smooth that out and make it look all, you know, clean and shiny and just modern. So,
and I'm glad you mentioned the fact about the getting older and cutting your hair and that you can still wear it somewhat long. Because I just saw Barbara Streisand. She's 70 years old. She had a nice blunt shoulder length cut and it looked fabulous on
right.
her.
Right.
It looked so good.
Well, I mean, you know, as you get older, your hair does thin out. And I do want to tell you that there's a product that's a vitamin. It's called Viviscal, and it's fantastic for women that are thinning their hair and they're losing their hair. And it's also for women and men. And you could look it up online, Viviscal, V-I-V-I-S, I think it's, V-I-V-I-S-I-C-A-L, Viviscal, something like
Viviscal,
that.
Okay.
And it's a fantastic vitamin that you will start to see a noticeable difference. Give yourself about 3 months, but you will start to see your hair not falling out as much and also increasing in volume. And it's all marine natural product. So you can check it out and just, you know, investigate it and see if it works for you. But that's been the number one thing I found recently to thicken hair that's thinning.
Really?
Yes. That I would say 100% go for it. Do it. Because we all have issues with thinning, and we all have, not everybody, but majority, women and men. And that's what I'm saying. They have it for men and women. So you can check it out online and see if you like it. It's kind of pricey, but it's worth it.
Well, I mean, if it works, you know, people that won't care. Spell that for me again, because I'm going to put that on my site. V is in Victor.
Okay. Viviscal. So it's V-I-V-I-S-C-A-L. Viviscal. Hair treatment vitamins.
I have seen that. I've seen that product name before. I'm going to look that up. And you just apply it in your hair.
If you have any... Pardon me?
I'm sorry?
I'm saying the person that recommended it was Tabitha. She has the TV reality show.
Oh, yeah.
Tabitha
yeah.
Takes Over or something like that. Well,
right.
She was having some hair loss issues, and she is the one that was on the Today Show, and I saw her, and she was talking about it and raving about the product, and I said, let me try this. And I did, and I loved it. And I said, wow. Because she has very baby fine hair.
And you would give that to people who have thinning hair or who want a thicker or more
yes.
volume in their hair.
Yes. Yes.
And the last question I was going to ask you was that question: should older people, when you get older, should you always have short hair?
Absolutely not. I'm so opposite of that. It depends. You know, like if you're Halle Berry, or if you're, I have older women that look fabulous in short hair, and we all
right.
cut these really beautiful, you know, edgy, very precision, but yet choppy kind of flowy, and then you put product in it and make it have some kind of movement. Those work on some people, but not everyone. I think sometimes if you cut your hair and maybe it doesn't work for your facial structure, it makes you look older. So.
Right.
It depends. Everybody's an individual when it comes to that. So if you love long hair, like I'm a long hair person. My mother
yeah.
is a long hair person. She wears her hair past her shoulders, and it looks
oh.
fabulous on her.
Wow.
So it's like Barbara Streisand. She's Barbara Streisand's age.
Oh, my
Barbara
God.
Streisand, she's got beautiful hair, but I'm sure she has some, you know, little clips in there, too. I'm sure she has some
what?
Help. You know?
Yeah, because it kind of looked like she would, you know, but it just her hair just looks so pretty. I just saw her on, saw a picture of her. She looked fabulous.
Well, it looks healthy. It's shiny. She's got a modern haircut. Her ends, everything. It's a beautiful bob. It's a very clean, square bob. I mean, if you get a modern look, it's like doing makeover on some women. They come in and they just don't know what should I do. They just don't know what works or what's the best haircut for me, what's the latest style, I don't know. Someone
right.
they don't know anything about makeup or hair or clothing, it all goes together.
Right.
You're like a canvas, you know, your body, your face, your hair, and you just slowly put it together. You go to the best people in your area, find out, or my best way of finding someone, if you see someone on the street walking in or in a store and you like their hair, ask
yeah,
them,
I'm the same
hair?
Way. I do the same thing. I say, oh,
yeah.
do you mind if I ask who you? Yeah, I do the same thing. I mean, but, you
that's
know, then you get some people who don't want to tell you, which I never understood. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Why would you not want to tell me? You know,
yeah,
what does that mean?
Well, it's word of mouth. That's the best advertisement. I mean, you can advertise, but word of mouth, so far in my salon, because we're very off the beaten path, you can't really find us. So we don't advertise, but we're a very busy salon. It's all word of mouth, and I think that's the best.
Well, Sarah Lord from Irway and Associates, that's Erie and Associates.
Yeah, Erie and Associates. It sounds like a law firm or something.
And that's URY and Associates in Georgetown. You want to give us the numbers for our listeners?
Yeah. It's 202-342-0944.
0944. And that is Sarah Lord, who gave us all that great advice. Sarah, thank you so much for giving us 10 minutes of your time, because I know you're really busy right now. So I really appreciate you doing this.
My pleasure. It all worked out. I'm so happy.
I am too, girl, because I know you're busy.
Yes. Tomorrow's even worse, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wearing
thank
roller skates
so-
tomorrow.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, I'm wearing flats. No, let me
Oh, my gosh. Well, enjoy.
Thank you, Sarah.
Take care. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Sure. Now, as promised, I, you know, I'm the last person who's going to give you some advice. A lot of people have asked me about their makeup kits and what they should have in their makeup kits. So let's just, you know, we'll decipher that for a minute. Every makeup kit should, for me, and for what, you know, I do as a makeup artist, and a lot of you know that, primer. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your age is or whatever. A good primer or even a primer that's silicone-based is even better, that's oil-free because it won't add any additional oils to your skin. It's a must. Recommendation, Smashbox has a really good primer. Even if you didn't want to spend as much as $23, I think that's what Smashbox costs. You can even go online to let's see, Elf. It's called Elf Cosmetics, Eyes, Lips, and Face Cosmetics. I believe their primer, I believe it's $3. Use your primer first. Then, you know, if you want to, you know, depending on your age, older women, and I'm in that category now, I would suggest doing a liquid. But I wouldn't do the, you know, you look at your bottle and you make sure that the liquid doesn't say that it's oily. You want a liquid that's oil-free. Some of us do need oil in their skin, or they need a little bit more moisture. So then, you know, you would do the other. My skin, however, is not oily at all. I'm sorry, not dry. It's neutral, natural, whatever. So I can do the ones that are oil-free. I prefer that because I don't like to look like a oil slick. You know, if you're running out and you need something quick, always have mascara, a good mascara, one that volumizes as well as thickens. I would also suggest using an eye cream or having an eye cream in your kit too. And this is not a, you know, it's a small kit. I'm not going to give you the makeup toolbox kit, but your little small kit. A good eye cream is really good and it's really essential because it smooths out everything and it lets, you know, when you put on product on your face, it allows the product to lay on your face a little bit smoother. And that's where the primer comes in as well. So you got your primer and your eye cream, something for your lips, a good lip balm. Do not use, I will not use the name of the company, but do not use the type of lip balm that is in a tube that's waxy because it is so foul and it's so waxy. And let me tell you a secret. Some of the lip balms that are like that will change the color of your lipstick. So if you put that on and then you know, you're moisturizing your lips and then you turn around and you put on lipstick and you wonder why your lipstick doesn't look the same in the tube as it does in your lips or as strong or as pigmented, it's because lip balm tends to change the color of your lipstick. That's a good idea to have if you want to have a lip tint. And lip tints basically are lip products that do not look heavy. They actually are just a tint, a sheerness on it. And a lot of people like that too. I love that on the weekends in the summer when I don't want to have a lot of makeup on. So I do like lip tints. But, you know, going back to the whole lip balm. So, you know, make sure if you do use some, you pat your mouth off with tissue and then you apply your lip product. I would also do lip liners. Make sure, you know, as much as we think people would know this, they don't, because make sure you have a lip liner that actually matches the lipstick. Please do not use any of that black, that brown, that dark brown, you know, people still do that. I know you're going to say they don't, but people still do that. So, you know, line your lips to match the lipstick. You want to, a lip liner that you can kind of bring into your lip area, and then it'll make your lipstick last longer. That's a little trick. So, you know, lipstick, lip line, you can line your lips before or after. Sometimes I'll do it after. You know, it just depends on, you know, who you are. Get a lipstick color that is complementary to you. You know, everyone can't wear gold. I'm just saying. Everyone can't wear gold, and everyone can't wear baby pink. So, you know, get a lipstick that's complementary. If you're going out for the evening or whatever, you want to get a bolder lip, you can, or you can get a sexier lip. Sexier meaning like a lip gloss or something that's a little bit more shimmery, a little bit more shinier. But again, everyone can't wear gold. Think about that. Those gold lip ladies that are out there listening and you think you can wear gold, I don't think so. Just a little whisper. Next we're going to do is an eyeliner. There's a new trick, and it's called thin lining. And what thin lining does is you're basically doing a very thin line, but you're inside the eye area or inside the eyelid. So you're inside the eye on the bottom. You're very, very, very close right to the lash line at the top. It's so thin, but it just looks nice and it looks natural. On the other hand, if you are a little daring, you can do a liquid liner. And they have so many really nice liquid liners now where, you know, even the shakiest hand can kind of manage to, you know, you have a real shaky hand and you need to line your eye. You can even get away with this as well. And you have this wing effect. That is so, so fabulous for evening. If you do a nice wing liner with a liquid liner, and the wing means you extend it outside of your eye area and you wing it, and you just make it a little bit more thicker at the back end of your eye. So the outside of your eye, you make it a little thicker. And then you just do the top. You put on a nice shimmery, like a shimmery blush. Not shiny, shimmery. There's a difference. And then you follow up with a nice, rich, red, bold lip. And some lashes, if you're good with lashes, a lot of mascara. That is the most fabulous look I have seen for evening. And it's so simple. It's like, what, five things? Well, you know, you do your foundation and stuff. You know, very light foundation. Put on a little, the shimmer cheek. You know, overdo the mascara so your lashes can be just popping. If you don't have lashes like that, of course, get some fake lashes, and please, you know, if you don't know how to do it, get someone to do it for you. Go to your local beauty place, get them to put it on for you, and then wing your eye with a liquid liner, and that is it. You have the most fabulous look. Put your hair up, you know, it looks good with an updo, but, you know, if you have natural hair like me, I mean, I could put my hair in an updo. I'd just have a big bush ball, but hey, you know, but that is the best look for anybody who wants to go out and they want to keep it simple and they don't want to spend a lot of money and a lot of time and they don't have a lot of talent as far as doing their own face. Now, if you have a person, a makeup artist friend, or you can go to the MAC counter or Estee Lauder, Bobbi Brown, any of those counters, they will do your makeup. Of course, you have to buy something, but hey, you know, you're getting your makeup done and you just, you know, buy a tube of lipstick or buy the lipstick that you're going to wear that evening that they put on you. Just buy that and, you know, just go with it. I have talked way too much about makeup and it's almost at, yep, it's time for me to go. I see that time. Join us in a couple of Fridays. We are going to be talking about how to get anything that you want free. You want to know how free products, free makeup products, free cleaning products, free food products, yum. Anything that you think you can't get free, yeah, I got some experts that are going to be talking to us about that. I thank you again for listening to the ramblings of my makeup artistry and my guests, Robin Fisher and Sarah Lord. Until next time we talk, take care. Bye-bye.